League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.
I'm Donna.
And I'm Carrie.
And we are Paranormal Chicks.
Episode 334. And we are recording this on Donna's birthday.
Yes.
Happy birthday to you. That's all you get.
Oh.
When I try to sing on this podcast, it is always, without fail, off key and horrible.
Well, you know, I can't. I'm just like, oh my God, it sounded so good.
The ultimate hype girl. Are y'all over her birthday? Because we've talked about it for three episodes now, but it is officially today. So when this comes out, it'll be over. But, and then the next time you hear us, we're going to talk about our birthday shenanigans at the safari.
I know.
So you legitimately get like a month.
Well, I'm sorry that you don't like to talk about your birthday as much as me.
It's so funny. It used to be opposite.
Well, I'm like, what do you want to do for your birthday? I don't know. Nothing.
But remember in college when I would literally have a countdown on the whiteboard outside of our dorm room?
Yes.
41 days until Carrie's birthday. Have you had a good day?
I have. I worked. I did not have that many interactions, like live interactions. So I only got to tell like three people, like customer-wise, that it was my birthday.
Oh, Lord.
Like, if you have to work on your birthday, you're going to hear it. And I was telling my coach, like, just know that when you listen to these calls and stuff, you're going to hear it over and over on that day. Like, if I got to work, I'm like, how's your day? Great. It's my birthday, actually. That's what it is. But I only had like three interactions. I was like, well.
Tell them what you got.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, because I only worked half a day, but.
I didn't know that.
I did. Yep.
Dang.
I know. Well, y'all know one thing I got. The nail kit. I was so excited. But then also Carrie got this cute little triple pumpkins. Like, and they're like.
They're ghosts.
Oh, they're ghosts, but with pumpkins.
Yeah.
Sorry. And like pumpkin pails. And she said they're us, me, her, and Tiffany. And it's so cute.
Wasn't it so cute? You want me to tell you where I got it? You're going to be like, really?
Where?
The Dollar Tree.
What?
Yeah, I got that at the Dollar Tree when I went to go get a bag. I like perused down there Halloween aisle and I was like, gotta get that.
That, they were so cute. I was going to say like Home Goods.
Nope. Dollar Tree.
Oh my God. Like so cute. And then Tiffany got me the adjustable weights, like where you can change them, like
dumbbells.
Yeah. But they're like from like 2 to 8 pounds or something. And they're the prettiest color. It's like my fixation color right now. It's actually the Moo Carrie's wearing that color.
Well, and the nails I got you kind of match it too. Cause they're kind of purpley.
I'm like loving that color right now.
And the thing is kind of a peachy pink.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Oh my God. Also, because you know what? Y'all, sometimes I say Carrie doesn't know me. Well, that's like 99.9% of the time. However, I have been looking for like the wristlets you put on for your skincare so it'll have the water stopped because I do not like that. And she got me them and I was like, literally, I looked at TJ Maxx and Home Goods and Target.
Can we tell you where I got those?
Where?
Aldi.
What?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. I've been meaning to go to Aldi too. But I was like, oh my God. Like, I have literally been wanting them. I want to do something with skincare to make my, like, to hold myself accountable for doing it. But I figured, like, I could do something on Instagram with it, but, like, maybe tell, like, a Reddit story or something, like, as a voiceover while I'm doing it.
Yeah.
You know, again, I'm trying to be an influencer over here, but the worst of the worst influencer. But, like, you know, just having that and being like, oh, you like this kind of stories? We have a podcast. But
what's funny is the Facebook post, like, on our Paranormal Chicks group post, I almost posted a picture of you coming to the swimming pool when you had the patches over your face.
Should've.
Because this bitch wears patches on her face to block the sun. It's genius.
It's on my spots that are hyperpigmented. It's on my top cheeks and my forehead. And it does help. Like, that's not as dark because I've, like, tanned my face, but that place doesn't get super dark anymore.
I want to get those that you sleep in.
Yeah, they're like supposed the brownies. To
help. Yeah, they're like, they say that, like, using them consistently is like getting Botox.
Yeah, I want those. But
why did I sound like Forrest Gump when I said the Botox?
The Botox. But I did hear that you can use how do you say it? Kinesiology tape.
Okay.
You can wear those, but it's like medical tape or whatever you could do, and it's the same.
I would put KT thing. Tape on your forehead because that shit will hurt coming off.
Yeah, I said it's not that. Like,
oh, okay.
I thought it was, but no. But they said like something where it's like stickable, but not like where it would just like rip off. But
I wouldn't do that.
Then I also heard that those actually aren't great.
Of course they're not.
You know, and it's like, oh, I'm like, oh, put them in my cart on Amazon. And then I watch another TikTok and it's like, they're terrible. They'll cause more wrinkles. And I'm like, oh, well, put them on save later. Let me go through a couple more rounds and see.
Well, I tell you what, I think I might need a chin strap at night because I have not been sleeping good. And I think it's because my mouth is like agape all night.
Even in your...
In my mouth. Yes. I'm telling you, I've been so sleepy. And I changed mask and everything. And I'm just like, I'm not getting a good seal. So I don't know.
You want to do the de-shedding? Have you seen them on TikTok? Mm-mm. Where they have a chin strap. They have those like frowny things.
Yes, yes, yes,
they
yes.
They have like their hair.
You know I'm never going to do that though. I'm going to get all that. I'll do it two nights and then I'll be done because I have zero nighttime routine.
But you could sleep in all of that.
For sure.
I wish I could do that. But like just seeing that, I'm like... Can't breathe.
Yeah, you
and,
would
like,
be
the mouth tape and all of
no,
that.
No, I couldn't do the mouth tape. But you would be willing to do the steps. You couldn't sleep in it.
Yeah.
I don't want to do the steps, but I could sleep in it.
Yeah, I would do all the steps and be like, oh God, I got to take this off before I go to bed. Like, I can't do it.
We watched a show on Amazon called Terminal List. Have you watched it yet?
Yes.
Or about, am I late? Is it old?
Yes.
God damn it. Why is everything that we watch late?
It's not super late. I think it's like maybe 2 years.
Oh, well, shit. We also watched this show on Netflix called A Good Girl's Guide to Murder.
Yes, that's a book.
God damn it. Have you seen that too?
Yes.
Well, you have seen everything.
I'm not finished with it. It's got 6 episodes and I'm on 4, but it's from a book.
This bitch seen everything. When do you sleep?
Okay, well, like I said, Terminal List is from 2 years ago, I think.
Well, you know, I don't love Chris Pratt.
I know, but he was... Why? I remember he was problematic... At some point, but I loved him in Everwood. If y'all watched that on, I think it was the WB when that came on, but the CW. But I loved him in that show. And then like me and Tiffany found something had come out about Chris Pratt. And it wasn't like super problematic, I don't think. But it was just like, ugh, we were rooting for you. Like we loved you in that.
Well, I think that Anna Faris and Chris Pratt are friends now. They have a child together that had like a cerebral hemorrhage. And so their son has delays and, you know, special needs and all that. Well, after he got married, well, I kind of heard that he had ditched her, but I don't know how true that is, but like kind of wouldn't have anything to do with the kid. I don't know how true that is. But that after he got married and had a kid with his next wife, he posted like, oh my God, a new baby, blah, blah, blah. Thank you so much for giving me a healthy baby. Yeah. And may not have meant that as a dig, but that pissed me right the fuck off. Yeah. And I like have nothing.
Ooh.
Now, again, that was all from a TikTok, but I mean, you could see the tweets, you know,
yeah,
or the X's. I don't know what you call them now. I think they still call them tweets, but it's on X. That's so fucking dumb. It's like the artist formerly known as Prince. It's so fucking dumb.
Right. Okay. So that's not what we had. This was like back before I think he had like, well, I don't know how old their kid is, but like before like Jurassic Park and before all of that, like it was right when he started to like take off more so than what he was on Everwood.
Yeah.
You know, and it was like, oh my God, good for him. And then it was like, oh man. Like, but I can't remember what it was. But I want to say that he's kind of more like traditional roles and stuff or something. Like, you know what I mean? That's how he kind of sees it or something. And I was like, really? I can't remember. But give me your take on the shows that you watched.
Well, I loved Terminal. I mean, if I'm telling you all about them, I loved them. I will say that there were parts of the Good Girls Guide to Murder that I felt like was a little slow.
Yeah.
But overall, I liked it.
You know where she's from, right?
No.
The lead?
Mm-mm.
Well, this is me just thinking because I haven't looked it up, actually. But she's from Wednesday. She's her roommate.
Yes!
And Tiffany was like, I swear to God, I know her. And I was like, watching it. And I was like, I think she's the roommate from Wednesday, but I haven't. Wow. Wednesday? Wow, Donna. I turned 39 and I just go country.
Yes, it is. Okay, that's funny. I was thinking she kind of looked familiar, but I would never put that together.
Well, she looked more like
tan.
She looks different. Like she's got a completely there. It's completely different.
Well, in Wednesday, she's got like the blonde hair with like the dyed bottoms. And then in this Good Girls Guide, she's got like short, like a bob brown hair. But the whole time I was like, oh, I love her hair. It makes me want to cut my hair short again.
I know. Also, like one time when they went to the, like the rave or whatever, and she had like dark green.
Yeah.
Stuff on. I was like, God, like, I wish I could wear that kind of makeup, but my eyes just do not do it. Remember that time that you did my makeup and mm-hmm. I opened my eyes and you're like, you can't see it anymore. Like, Carrie spent forever doing this makeup for like Halloween or something.
Yes.
And it looked so good with my eyes closed. When I opened them, those hoods were hooding. Oh, speaking about something else about me, because, you know, this episode is all about me because it's on my birthday, y'all. But, okay, if y'all are on Patreon, you come to the lives that we do for Am I the Asshole. I talked about medical pedicures and that I had done this podiatrist. One, I was like the only one under 75 there.
Did she look him up before and decided he was cute and then stalked him and realized he was married? Yes.
Yes. And he was even cuter in person. But also, okay, here's what I have to say. One, that was the most comfortable doctor's chair I've ever sat in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was wide. And it had armrest and because like the one in my dermatology.
It's like a dentist. The armrests are so low. Yes.
This was
whose
like
armrests were that low?
Yeah. Because they dig in like where they hit. I'm like, it makes my fat just like go over.
Yes.
Them too.
I'm like, bitch, I'm not a gorilla. My arms can't reach that far.
Yes. So but this one was like perfect. Mm-hmm. And it was more kind of upright, but just like perfect. I was like, oh, my God. Like she was like, get on up there and it'll be fine. I was like, I could take a snooze right now.
Yeah.
But anyway, so he came in and he was like, so what's ailing you right now? I was like, well, on TikTok.
Oh, my God.
He was like, well, we don't do that. And I was like, it's okay. But, you know, and he looked at my toenails and I was like, well, maybe like one has like a fungus or something, you know? And you know the ones I'm talking about?
Your middle finger ones?
Yeah. Like okay. My second toe. And he was like, this is actually because those are longer than your big toe, and that's called a Morton's toe.
Mm-hmm.
Very common.
Yes.
Did not know that. And he said it's also called a Greek toe or something. And he said the nail is thicker because of trauma, because it's like bigger than the other one. And I was like, me too. He did not laugh.
No.
I said, they are thick boys down there. Did not laugh. I was like, okay, cool.
You know, he needs to stay married to his wife. Yeah.
I was like, that was like solid right that there.
That was very funny trauma jokes.
Yes. But he said, like, that's normal. He was like, anytime that someone has a thicker nail, that's like everyone else is normal. But that those two, you know? Mm-hmm. That's it.
So I was like, could he like dribble that bitch down or something?
He did a little bit. Oh, yeah, okay. He did. And I was like, okay, well, like, that makes me feel better that, like, because I was like, why are they so thick? Like, those.
Yeah.
And then he said my feet looked good, but he said that he did think, like, my big toe had a little bit of fungus maybe going, which I think he's just a really good salesman, like, by saying it might be early stages, but if you catch it early enough, mm-hmm. and I'm like, done, done. Yeah. But so I bought some things.
Oh, my God.
But I'm going to see how it is. But I highly recommend, though, for people who don't go and get pedicures, because he was like, where do you go get a pedicure? And I told him, I was like, somewhere in Ellisville. And he was like, keep going, because they do a good job and stuff, you know? So I was like, okay, awesome. But for people who don't like going to get pedicures, honestly, that would be a really good place to go. Because, like, if I had, like, corns or, like, hard places, he would have dremeled those down. Mm. He cut my toenails. And, like, so if he was like, if they're not ingrown, like, he doesn't, like, try to, like, do anything. Mm-hmm. If they're not hurting, like, he said one kind of looked like it could start. He was like, but if it's not hurting and it's not, like, making a sore, they don't cut it. And so I was like, okay, you know. But, like, I was just thinking, like, my brother had talked about, he had some, like, painful
things. Yeah, so does Colby.
Yeah, and I was like, it would actually be great. It was, like, an easy thing, you know. Like, I mean, other than he didn't think I was funny.
Colby West would never... That motherfucker has the most ticklish feet I've ever seen in my life. You just look at his feet and he's like, like, you, there, no shot in hell I would get him there.
Really?
Because he's so ticklish, not because he's like, eh, I'm gonna go. No.
I'm telling you, just go for the chair. Like, honestly, I was like, oh my God, one, it makes me feel small. Like, you think I'm skinny?
I was just about to say that. Well, that sucks. You got, like, none of the medical pedicure thing that you thought.
I know. And so then I was like, I need to get my, because I had taken off all my gel polish so he could do all the things for my toes. And I went to a girl that's not my normal girl. Like, I went to a place here. I was like, am I in the quiet place? Because the TVs weren't on. Like, they were on, but no sound, you know, like, no one was saying anything. Am I normal? Girl, she works at a salon, and so it's like hustling, bustling. Yeah. Like, so it's a dream because one, I can watch people's hair get done, and you that's amazing. That. But then also, like, it's all the drama, all the things, you know, like, me and the girl talk about all the things, but this was nothing. And I was like, I feel so awkward.
Well, I told y'all about me getting in trouble the last pedicure I got. He just put something on my foot and told me to put my foot in. And so I was, like, kind of trying to move my foot around to, like, kind of get it off, you know? And he goes, no swimming. You're spill the water. I was like, oh, okay.
What the fuck?
Just moving my foot around. I wasn't swimming. Turn the goddamn water off.
Right.
Why you still got it running? Fucking, it's about to overflow.
Ugh. Like, I went there and I said, you know what? I'm going to get a pedicure because I wanted to be on the massage chair and I wanted my feet massaged. Like, I literally told the girls this. I get there. The massager did work. So that was good. But then... She did not massage my feet, did not massage my hands. And when she was finished, she just, like, she didn't say words to me. And I don't like when they just, like, tap and tell you, like, tap you. And I'm like, I don't really know where you're telling me to go. Like, this is like me trying to go to the oil place. And they're just like, come to the side, to the front, to the.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but do I keep coming straight and then turn? Or do I go straight and then turn? And
yeah.
Then, you know, just like, can you just tell me, like, basin? Like, do something. Like, I don't like that. And so, but she, like, did her fingers like a fist, you know? And, like, so I did that. And then she, like, she squirted this cuticle oil. And then she just showed me, like, to rub it. And I was like, okay, like, okay. So maybe I'm getting it all ready for her. And then she was like, okay, you can, like, well, she pointed to the sink. And I was like, go wash? And she was like, nodded. I was like, that's it?
Well, to be fair, she may not have spoken English.
That is true. But it's just like, I don't know. It's just very like.
It was uncomfortable because it was so quiet.
So quiet and just not what I expected. Like,
yeah.
I've never got something not with a massage.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it was more expensive than normal. Anyway.
You just miss your girl from Houston.
Oh, my God. Now, that girl was the best ever. Like, hands down, she was so like.
Just Subi, wasn't that her name?
Subi, yes. And it took everything I had to not say, oh my God, my dog's name is Subito, remember? Mm-hmm. But she was amazing. Carrie had a girl that she went to. I went there and got, you know, another person, like soulmate. She did it rough. She was thorough. Amazing. Now, there was a guy there and he was good, but he would like pound your legs on the side. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that was a little rough. I was like, whew. But I mean, I liked it. At least I could feel it, you know? Yeah. But I was like, what the fuck? Like my little jiggle, 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 jiggle.
Well, enough about Donna's jiggle, jiggle, jiggle. We got to talk about HelloFresh. I just recently got some meals in and we made this like turkey sausage, rigatoni, like red slash cream sauce. Let me just tell you.
I thought Colby said it was chicken.
It may have been.
Whatever it was, it smelled delicious and it looked like a plate I get from our favorite restaurant.
Yes.
It smelled like it. It looked like it. And I was like, oh, whoa. Like, that's nice.
It was so good. And let me tell you how good it was. It was supposed to be a meal for four people and we ate it all. So no leftovers for lunch.
If you haven't tried HelloFresh, hello, what are you waiting on?
Because home-cooked meals are so much better for you than like dining out, but you don't always have time to pull it off. There's just so many steps. You got to go to the grocery store. Well, first you got to make a list and decide of what the heck you're going to eat. Go to the grocery store, make all the things, blah, 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 blah. HelloFresh handling all the meal planning, shopping, and most of the prep is easier than ever to get dinner on the table quick and painless. And it really was quick. I think start to finish, that one took us maybe 30 minutes.
Also, because they do have so many different recipes and stuff, and it's things that maybe you just want to try and you don't have all of the spices on hand, all of the things, you don't have to buy those, and they come already pre-packaged for you. And so there's little to no waste.
But also, they have so many recipes, but it's not like you're just endlessly searching for recipes or, like you said, spending money on this one ingredient that you're having to buy this whole jar for this spice or this red wine vinegar or something that, I'm literally never going to use except for this one meal. It's just so much easier because it's like, okay, yes, they have a lot of meals to choose from, but you don't feel overwhelmed. It's the perfect amount of enough to choose from so you're not bored, but not so many to choose from that you're like, I'm so overwhelmed, I don't even know where to start.
And seriously, they have a variety of menu options. So it can suit your needs, your taste, from fit and wholesome to quick and easy, aka me, and vegetarian, family friendly. Really, there is something for everyone to enjoy. And I am the pickiest of the picky.
She ain't lying, except for when it comes to men. But HelloFresh has over 50 recipes to choose from every single week. It's so customizable because you can adjust your delivery schedule, skip a week, or anything that you need to do to make the plan work for you.
Like Carrie said before, if you're on vacation and stuff, you can stop them from being delivered to your house, but get them delivered to the rental that you're at for that stay. So what we're saying is HelloFresh is very flexible.
Unlike Donna's legs. Right now, you can get free breakfast for life when you go to HelloFresh.com/freecreep. That's one free breakfast item per box while your subscription is active.
Again, that is free breakfast for life by going to HelloFresh.com/freecreep.
FreeCreep. HelloFresh is America's number one meal kit for a reason. And, you know, right now that reason is free breakfast. So go to HelloFresh.com/freecreep. All right, the story I'm doing this week came from a recommendation in our email from Amy Rose. So we're talking about Bobby Joe Stinnett. Bobby Joe Stinnett lived in Skidmore, Missouri, which is like a really small town. And
you've done a story in Skidmore before.
Okay, if I've done this story, I'm going to die because I really thought I had done this story, and I looked everywhere, and it said I hadn't.
I don't think you have done this story, but you did do a story in Skidmore.
Okay. I think so, too, but here's my thing. Bobby Joe's husband, Zeb, has some cousins that were involved in a different story.
Oh, my gosh.
I heard that on a different podcast. Like, I didn't even put that together, and then I was like, wow, do they like, is this, did I do this episode? You know what right? I mean?
Isn't that
yes.
like the town that like.
Town bully. Yes. 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 Okay. Okay. I just found it. That was episode 111. Why do you remember everything?
I've seen everything and I remember everything.
God. Okay. So I'm 99.9% sure I haven't done the story. I looked at, I searched on the podcast. I searched on the episode guides that Karen made. Thank you. That's on the Facebook groups. If you're like, have they covered this in episode? All you got to do is go to the featured section. And Karen has a post that has two different Google Docs, and you can literally search for like the name of the story. But anyway, I searched all those places. I searched like multiple names and it didn't pull up. So I really hope I haven't done the story, but if
you
I have.
You haven't, because it was that town bully. Like yeah. I was going to say, it was the town of Skidmore who like came after the bully because it was like they've had enough or whatever.
So we'll see. But anywho's it, Bubby Joe was not the town bully. She was young and worked at a manufacturing plant, but on the side, she raised rat terriers.
Well, I mean, I get that they're a terrier, but what?
It's a dog breed. You know what? Well, this one picture.
Wait, is it Toto?
No. Kind of looks like.
Kind of looks like Kevin.
Kind of looks like that my sister's dog, Bailey, there.
Yeah. But it kind of looks like Kevin if Kevin wasn't a chunky chunk.
They're just little, like, terrier dogs. They're very cute with the pointy ears.
Yeah. When you said a rat terrier, the like, I was like, oh, Toto, because.
Why do they gotta be called rat?
I don't know.
Ugh.
They're too. Anyway.
So Bobby Joe was super active in the breeding community and just, like, the rat terrier community. She did all the discussion boards, forums. She went to dog shows and all the things. But on December 16th, 2004, Bobby Joe was supposed to go pick her mom up. And when she didn't show, her mom walked over to Bobby Joe's house. At 3:30, 911 gets a call from Bobby Joe's mom, Becky, that said that her daughter, Bobby Joe, was laying on the floor in the house and, quote, it looks like her stomach had exploded.
Oh, my God.
When the paramedics get there, they find 23-year-old Bobby Joe's body. And she had this, like, cut across her abdomen that showed her internal organs. And she was just basically laying in a pool of blood.
Oh, my gosh.
What the paramedics quickly found out was that Bobby Jo was 8 months pregnant at the time.
Oh, my God.
The thing is that there were no signs of forced entry. So the police put out an Amber Alert for the baby. They call in the FBI because... This is a very small town, like a few hundred people, if I remember correctly. Like, it is not this huge town, and handling this murder and an Amber Alert, especially because of where it is, you got to think with Missouri, like how close like Kansas and all these other states are to where Skidmore, Missouri is. So like this, you got to do Amber Alerts in like four different states.
Well, and also it's a baby.
Right. Like a hours old newborn.
Yeah.
Now, the police, of course, start canvassing the neighborhood, and they did find that a witness noticed a dirty red subcompact car that they had never seen before. But that was really all the neighbors had to offer. So, of course, the police are going to look to Zeb, her husband, and Zeb was at work. He left at 7 o'clock that morning. He worked at a plant. He had an alibi that checked out, like he was at work, like he had nothing to do with this.
Also, I did not know Zeb was a common name.
I only know the one from you.
Right? Me too. So when you said that, I was like, really?
I know. I was also like, what was that guy's last name? What if this story?
Oh my God. Could you imagine?
I mean, it was 2004. It would have been after y'all talked.
Way after. But he moved to like Canada.
Yeah.
That's how I do them. They leave the country.
The police know that Bobby Joe's mom had spoken on the phone with her at about 2:30. And when they were on the phone, Bobby Joe tells her mom that she has someone coming over that day to look at her dogs to see if they want to buy one.
Wait.
Yeah. Did I do this story? Or you just know it?
No, I think I know it, but not from you.
It's been on a couple shows. It's been on a lot of podcasts. It's
There's
a really
like a
big story.
That's like... They go back and talk to, oh, I know what it is. I really think I know it, but I don't want to say where I know it from because if I do, it'll give things away.
Cut to Donna has it, doesn't have the right one.
Well, it's just odd because she was also like supposed to see someone about a dog and stuff.
No, this is it. She has the wrong, she's thinking the wrong thing. This, of course, gets police attention because we're like, okay, well, who is supposed to come over and see these puppies? So they look at Bobby Joe's computer and they find out that she had been talking to someone named Darlene Fisher. Now, Darlene was supposed to come over, meet the puppies, and hopefully get one. Darlene had messaged her and was like, hey, I only live about 20 miles away. She said she lived in Fairfax, Missouri, and that she could, you know, meet her tomorrow. And so Bobby Joe was like, absolutely, come on. So the police use Darlene to try to like track back like, okay, who is that? I do want to say that the autopsy showed that Bobby Joe had been strangled, but that actually the cause of death was exsanguination from bleeding out because of the C-section. And I mean, I guess you have to call it a C-section because that's what happened. But like, you know, I feel like that just like downplays what happened to her calling it a C-section. But this like was just like a crazy detail to me. There was blood between Bobby Joe's toes that showed that she actually stood at one point during her attack to fight off the attacker.
Oh my gosh.
So the police, of course, like I said, they're able to do all the IT things and they're able to figure out that Darlene Fisher's email that she had been sending Bobby Joe came from a computer belonging to a guy named Kevin Montgomery. Now, Kevin Montgomery had a wife named Lisa, but they live a little bit further away, like hours away, not just 20 minutes up the road. So the police go knock on the Montgomery's door. They use the ruse to say, hey, there is an Amber Alert investigation in the area. And what we're doing is we're checking out all recent births just to be sure.
Oh.
And so Kevin's like, sure, come on in. And when they get in, they see Lisa sitting on the couch holding a baby. So they're like, okay, like keep calm, pretend like, you know, likely the baby in question, but like chill because she's holding this baby. And if they just did to Bobby Joe what we saw, like we have to protect this baby at all costs.
Right.
So they ask Lisa about her birth. And she says that she had given birth at a birthing center in Topeka, Kansas. Now, I've since learned from, I think this was on Crime Lines, where they talked about the birthing centers were places that were like for midwives and stuff. So people could go and have babies and they got discharged like within a couple of hours versus like having to stay overnight. It, you know, it's a way of being like kind of sort of a home birth, but not actually a home birth, you know. This was something that would technically make sense because Lisa said she had given birth to this baby the day before. Mm-hmm. Now, if she had really given birth at this birthing center, she would already be home with the baby.
Yeah.
So they're like, okay, do you have like any discharge papers you can show us? And she was like, sure. But then promptly they couldn't find said discharge papers. The investigators are also like, okay, she's sitting here holding this baby. Like, we got to get the baby from her so that we can make sure this baby's safe if these questions turn south. Once Lisa couldn't find the discharge papers, the investigators were like outside being like, dee-doo, boop, 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 called the birthing center to be like, hey, did this lady give birth to this, you know, to this baby yesterday? And the birthing center was like, no, we didn't have any births yesterday.
Oh, shit.
So they asked Lisa, like, hey, you know, can we come outside and talk or whatever? And one of the detectives was like, hey, can I hold the baby while we talk and all? And she was like, yeah, and like gave them the baby. So like now a detective has the baby's safe.
Yeah, that's good thinking.
So once Lisa kind of got away from her husband, she was like, okay, actually, I didn't give birth at the birthing center. I gave birth at home with three friends helping me. And they're like, okay, cool. What are their names? And she's like, well, they didn't actually come here and help me. They were just like on standby if I needed them. And so it was like, as they like kept asking her questions, the story starts making less and less sense. And they do ask Lisa to like, hey, can you come down to the police station with us? Yada, yada, yada. And she actually admits that that baby is Bobby Joe's baby.
What?
And it happened pretty quickly. And the investigators do their due diligence. And Kevin, the husband, truly had no idea that that was not his baby. There's a lot that he kind of just lets Lisa, I shouldn't say lets Lisa do, but like doesn't question Lisa, because there's been a couple of times where she said that she's gotten pregnant. I heard this on a couple of podcasts that like one time she got pregnant and said that she had delivered the baby, but it was stillborn, and that she like gave it to the body to science.
Oh my God.
And like he never quite, he was just like, oh, okay. Like, what wow. do you mean? You know, like he just was just like blindly like, oh, okay. So for this, like, oh, you gave birth in this like Topeka, Kansas birthing center. And then because she had given birth, air quotes, gave birth at this birthing center and called him to come pick her up. And he met her in like a Long John Silver's parking lot across the street from it. And he that didn't make him question anything of like, why am I not picking her up at the birthing center? He was just like, oh, all
right. Right.
And went on. So that's why I say, like, he just kind of just went along with whatever Lisa said. Like, if she said it, okay, must be true. But his family did later come out and say, like, he kind of blindly believed everybody. And that also kind of got him into trouble because people took advantage of him.
Okay. So I know people lie about being pregnant all the time, but I don't understand how someone is intimate with someone when they're like, I'm 8 months pregnant.
Right.
And enough that she had a baby.
I know.
You know what I mean? Like, I just don't understand because I don't understand.
And we don't know that they were intimate. We don't know. I mean, she could have kept her shirt on and said, I'm uncomfortable. I'm going to keep my shirt on. You know what I mean?
That's true.
So I don't know. So basically what police figure out, because like I said, Lisa has confessed to this. Lisa had actually met Bobby Joe before. They had met at a dog show. They had further talked through the online forums. So Lisa had seen that Bobby Joe, like that she knew that she was a breeder for the Rat Terriers, but she also had seen through Bobby Joe's posts and all of that, that she was pregnant.
Wow.
Because they had a website for their breeding. And they would have, she would have pictures of everything and then pictures of her and, you know, kind of talk about her pregnancy stuff. So Lisa had seen all of this from a distance. Now, it's said that Lisa actually did a test run of the drive from her house in Kansas to Skidmore, Missouri. And she had bought supplies like a home birthing kit and had even watched YouTube videos and stuff on how to perform a cesarean section.
God, like the level of
diabolical and planning and.
Yeah. Also, I have no confidence in my ability to birth a baby. Like to be the one to be like, I'm going to steal this baby and like I can do it successfully. Like I don't. Oh, my God. But yes, the planning, the all of that, like and knowing her, too. Like it wasn't just like some stranger that she like stalked on the street and not that that's any better, but you know what I mean? Like you have a level of connection with this person.
Right. Well, so basically what happened is Bobby Joe knew she was coming, answered the door because she's coming. They played with the puppies for a little while and Lisa had brought a rope with her, used that rope to strangle her like into unconsciousness. Had brought a knife too, started to cut the baby out.
Oh my gosh.
Bobby Joe actually woke up from that and she strangled her again.
Oh my gosh.
And so I'm assuming at that point is when she probably tried to like stand up and fight.
Talk about a mother's will and stuff. For sure. You know?
So they didn't just have Lisa's confession though. She had the same car that the witness had seen. And then inside her car, they found a note and that note had Bobby Joe's address on it. They also found the rope and a bloody knife. And then a quick search on the computer gave them everything they needed. So Lisa gets charged with first-degree murder and is facing the death penalty. And it's a federal case because she crossed state lines.
Oh, shit.
But here's the thing. Within just 5 days, Lisa had no memory of doing this crime.
Wait, what? Plot twist.
So when presented with the evidence and they were like, did you do it? She's like, I must have, like, because of the evidence, but she didn't remember it at all. Now, this is where the story gets the most focus, but I really wanted the part about Bobby Joe to be the first part of the focus because she is this story.
Yes.
But Lisa's story is, well, you got to just hear it. And it has kind of taken a life of its own. And Bobby Joe gets lost in this a lot. So I wanted her part to be the focus of it because she was so like warm and kind and like happy and loving and shy and all the things and was going to be a great mother. But you also have to know Lisa's story too. Before Lisa was even born, her mom was a heavy, heavy drinker and she drank her entire pregnancy. So essentially, Lisa was born with fetal alcohol syndrome and Lisa's life was fraught with abuse. Is that not the right word?
No, I'm just saying, who are you? Like, that's such a proper word, I think.
That's probably not the right word. But when I typed it, nothing corrected me. So her mom later says that Lisa's first words were, don't spank me, it hurts.
What?
But also, her first words were a whole fucking sentence. No, they weren't, ma'am. First of all, we hate you, so we know you're lying. But also, it was not a whole goddamn sentence. But it probably was something like that, like, ouch, it hurts, or whatever. Lisa's mom, her name was Judy. We hate her. She was very, very abusive to Lisa. She would tape Lisa's mouth shut, like, if she was crying or anything like that. And so Lisa would, like, almost suffocate because she's, like, crying and stuff and has this tape over her mouth. She would even leave her out in the snow. Now, there was a lot of sexual abuse in Lisa's life. But it didn't start with hers specifically. She had an older sister. It was her half-sister. Her name was Diane. Diane was 8 at this time, and Lisa was 3 to 4. I've seen it 3 and 4 years old. But anyway, they shared a bed. And Lisa would literally be laying in the bed next to Diane when Diane was being raped by men that were like friends with their mom.
Oh my gosh.
Diane did eventually go into foster care, but Lisa, and I think Lisa had a younger sister. Some stuff made it sound like she had a couple of siblings. Some stuff made it sound like it was just her, but they didn't go in foster care because Lisa was with her mom, whereas Diane was with her dad. And I'm pretty sure from what, there's so many people, y'all. I'm trying to keep it all straight, but basically, Lisa's dad was in the military, and so he was gone, and so that's how all this happened, because Judy was having all these affairs, and some stuff said it was a male babysitter, but then other stuff was like, it was like Judy's friends that she brought over, because she was also hooking up with everybody while the dad was overseas. So Diane went to like her dad's parents, whereas Lisa stayed with Judy. Well, it wasn't long before Lisa's mom and dad finally separated for good. And by the time Lisa was 11, her mom had remarried a guy named Jack. Jack was also an alcoholic who physically abused Judy, Lisa's mom, all the time and started raping Lisa.
Gosh.
When she was 11, to the point where Jack literally built a room like on the side of their trailer that was his room that he would take Lisa to rape her.
Oh my God.
It had its own entrance so that he could like go and come whenever he wanted to. And now there was one thing that said that Judy didn't know, and that when she did find out, she held a gun to Lisa's head and was like, how could you do this to me?
Oh my God.
Yeah. So like basically blaming Lisa.
An 11-year-old?
Yes, instead of the stepdad for the assaults. But some stuff said that she would like take the other kids away from there so they couldn't hear Lisa being raped and like screaming and stuff.
You know what? It probably both happened.
Yes, and it may have been the first thing happened and then she was like accepted it and...
Yeah.
When Jack would assault her, he would hold a pillow over her face. He would sodomize her. And there were points where he slammed her head so hard against that concrete floor that later an MRI brain scan showed the brain damage.
Oh my gosh.
Now, eventually, Jack started bringing his friends in to rape Lisa.
Fuck them.
And they would rape her, tie her up, and then urinate on her.
Oh my God. How do these people find each other?
It's like they have a fucking beacon on that they're just like, I'm a shit human. Do you want to be friends with me?
Right? Like, how does one say, hey, this is what I do? You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, oh my God. Ugh.
Lisa did have some stepbrothers from this stepdad. And when the stepdad's like friends and him would rape her, sometimes they would video it. And apparently one of the stepbrothers actually saw one of the videos.
Oh my God.
And he said it was violent and like a scene out of a horror movie. I felt sick watching the video. I didn't know what to do or how to talk to my sister about it.
Okay. I thought it was going a different way. And I was like, oh my God. Like,
girl, just wait.
Oh, fuck.
Nobody did anything about it.
What?
They saw this video. This brother saw this video and did nothing.
Nothing. And to say that, oh, I felt sick at my stomach and all of that. Like, are you kidding me?
Then she does have a cousin that is a police officer.
What?
That she tells.
And he doesn't do anything?
He takes her back home.
What?
Mm-hmm. And there was another podcast that I listened to.
That's so gross. Like, you know what I mean? For someone to come to you and tell you that, that's a lot for them. Especially like their stepfather and then his friends. And like they have a fucking room that this happens in. Like, that's a lot. And for her to reach out and then be like, no, I'm going to take you home. You're safe there. Like,
yeah.
Oh.
So there was another podcast called Criminal Broads. And they talked on that show about how many people failed Lisa that knew that something was going on. Like, because she had dirty clothes. She had, you know, going to school. She had these issues. Her grades were slipping her. You know, there was all these things. They were like, we think she's abused. But these mandatory reporters did fucking nothing.
That is just...
So it was literally every single person she came in contact failed Lisa.
Yeah.
When Lisa was 18, her mom basically made her marry her stepbrother.
What?
Yeah. They had 4 kids in 5 years.
Oh my God.
And that relationship was just as abusive.
Was he the one that saw the video that time? Or we don't know.
No. This was a different one.
Oh my gosh. You know what though? Like, I'm sorry. I'm just going back to her even going to school. And I know people like have to do this kind of shit all the time. And like, why are bad people bad? But like the thought of her going to school and having to sit there and try to learn school when she is raped not only by her stepfather but his friends and all of that, like how do you learn at all?
Yeah. And I will say this one thing says that the video was her husband raping her, not the friends. So I don't know if maybe I misunderstood one of the earlier articles, and then, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, but some stuff still, said,
like,
she's still getting raped to the point where people think it's a fucking horror movie.
Yeah.
So
I'm sorry. She has brain damage.
Like, literally. This. Literally.
Oh, my God.
So she does eventually divorce Henry, was his name. She does eventually divorce her stepbrother. But, like, it was, like, some back and forth. Like, they broke up. They got back together. They broke up. They got back together. But, again, they had fucking 4 kids. And she does eventually marry Kevin Montgomery, who she was married to when this story takes place. But here's the thing with her having multiple, there was like 3 or 4 times where she told Kevin she was pregnant. And like, I think one time it just went away. One time was the time that she said she had a stillborn. And then this last time that she literally stole Bobby Joe's baby. But the thing with all of that is once she had had her 4th child, her mom made her have her tubes tied.
Oh my gosh.
Now, I did hear on Crime Lines that some family had actually told Kevin, like, hey, she has her tube ties. Like, she can't get pregnant. And that he was like, oh, okay, but he didn't understand what it meant. He didn't know what that means, you know? And so when she said she was pregnant, he was just like, oh, okay, I guess she can get pregnant. You know, he just believed her.
So wait, did she have her kids with her?
Stepbrother.
No. But she had custody of the kids?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
But it's like, why did she take Bobby Joe's baby? Why did she kill Bobby Joe and steal this baby?
Yeah.
One of the things that lawyers believe may have happened was that her stepbrother, ex-husband, was like threatening to get custody of the kids. And that if she was lying about this pregnancy, because she'd been saying she was pregnant, and was like, if you're lying about this pregnancy, then I'm going to use this against you and get custody of our kids. Now, she was known to, like, I mean, she had bipolar disorder. She had complex post-traumatic stress disorder. She had dissociative disorder and a traumatic brain injury. They were saying that, like, she could disassociate, like more than they had ever seen. Like, the psychiatrists and stuff that saw her were like, more than anybody I've ever seen. She literally didn't remember doing it 5 days later because she was so disassociated from it. So this went to trial. And her attorney didn't do a great job of being like, this is all the stuff that she's been through. And in fact, he only went and saw her 3 times in prison.
Are you kidding me? Again, someone who failed her.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not saying what she did and what happened to her is any
right
like thing. But it's like, come
this
on.
This is a death penalty case.
Yes.
But the jury deliberated for less than 5 hours before finding her guilty and sentencing her to death. Now, she was like the only woman on the federal death row at the time. This is why I say Bobby Joe gets so lost in it, because people really started focusing on her and saying, like, the amount of mental illness that she has that is proven through scans of brain trauma. Like, we're not saying she didn't do this. We're not saying that she shouldn't be held culpable for this. We're saying she should not get the death penalty because she's mentally ill.
Right.
They're saying, you know, she was a victim of sex trafficking abuse. She has bipolar disorder. She had temporal lobe epilepsy and all the other things that I said already with the post-traumatic stress and dissociative disorder and all the things. And they're like, if that attorney had done a good job of painting this picture for the jury, they may not have sentenced her to death. But she was never granted an appeal for her trial. Now, this all kind of started happening when the Trump administration reinstated the federal death penalty. And it wasn't until like July of 2022, there literally had been no federal executions in 17 years. Up until 2020, the number of executions had been at a 30-year low.
Wow.
So people really thought that at the time, Trump, who was president at the time, was going to like pardon some of these executions, and he didn't. During this time, the federal government will have executed more people than any administration in nearly 100 years.
Holy shit.
And on January 13th of 2021, Lisa's attorneys lost their fight. She was executed by lethal injection, and she was the first woman executed by the federal government since 1953.
Wow.
Now, I do want to say that Bobby Joe's baby that this whole case is about, they named her Victoria Joe, and she is living. She is a teenager now, and she does live in the Skidmore area with her family, and they don't come and talk about this stuff. They want to keep her privacy. But she is living with her dad and seems to be thriving. This is such a hard case, and we are going to talk about this a little bit more. But first, we got to talk about Miracle Made. How many times have we talked about how hot it is outside? It's literally all we talk about. And that heat, especially in the bedroom, has such a huge impact on your sleep quality. If you're too hot, if you're too cold, you just aren't sleeping good. And if you aren't sleeping good, it is a dang ripple effect into your next day and your life.
Which is where Miracle Made sheets come in and save the day or the night. They're inspired by NASA, and they use silver-infused fabrics that are the temperature regulating so you can sleep at the perfect temperature all night long. But it's not just about regulating your body temperature. If you didn't know this, traditional bed sheets can harbor more bacteria than a toilet seat.
And this bacteria leads to allergies. It's just freaking nasty. You know, you'll get acne, your nose is stuffy, all the things. And nobody wants that. We want to be cool, we want to be comfortable, and we want to be clean. The three C's of sheets. Some people have the four C's of diamonds. We want the three C's of sheets. And with Miracle Made, they have a whole line of self-cleaning antibacterial bedding, such as sheets, pillowcases, comforters, that prevent up to 99.7% of bacteria growth. That means you got to wash your laundry less, and you're going to be comfortable. Miracle Made, baby.
That's right. Also, like, look, I'm getting up in age. If you didn't know, it's my birthday, and I turned 39, and skincare is very important to me. So Miracle Made is making it a little bit easier on me.
Because you're not sweating all that skincare off.
Exactly.
Just being able to wash your bedding less often is a game changer. So stop sleeping on bacteria. Stop being hot. Stop being too cold. Stop being gross. And head on over to trymiracle.com/creep to try Miracle Made sheets today. You're going to get 40% off. And if you use the promo code creep at checkout, you're going to get 3 free towels and save an extra 20%.
Look, we're all about self-love and all of that, but we really have to start prioritizing our sleep and the sleep quality.
And Miracle Made is so confident that you will love their product and get good quality sleep. Like Donna said, they have a 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you're not 100% satisfied, you're going to get a full refund.
So upgrade your sleep with Miracle Made. Go to trymiracle.com/creep and use the code CREEP to claim your free 3-piece towel set and save over 40% off.
Again, that's trymiracle.com/creep. Thank you, Miracle Made, for sponsoring this episode. The hard part about this case is that, like I said, Bobby Joe gets lost in it. But I think the biggest takeaway of why people, I mean, other than a mother lost her life, is never going to see her baby grow up and all of that. Aside from that, Lisa had mental illness. And people, look, if you went to the prison system right now and you asked every single person in there, were you abused? Did somebody, you know, hit you? Did somebody sexually assault you? Did somebody do whatever? I'd be willing to guess 90% of them would say yes.
Yeah.
So it's not just about abuse. It's about the mental illness. It's about the head trauma. It's about her inability or her ability, I guess I should say, to disassociate in a way that I don't think she really understood what she was doing. Conversely, she planned it. She YouTubed it. She bought the stuff. She did a test run drive. I mean, so yeah. That's what makes this case so hard, because it's like, you know, your heart breaks for Lisa and then you're like, fuck, Bobby Joe. And then you're like, but like you can see on scans, like the amount of people, like the amount of psychiatrists and psychologists that have seen her and all say the same thing about her mental illness and her trauma and her seizures and her brain injuries and all the things. It's like, but then she also planned it.
Right. That is so hard, but it's to the point of she should be in prison. She shouldn't have been put to death.
Yeah.
That's how I see that.
And it's not even, I mean, because one could even make the argument that she shouldn't even be in prison. She should be in a mental institution. But let's just take that off the table.
Right.
And let's just say, let's make this about the death penalty part of this case. If her first attorney had done a good job of understanding and painting her life, she would have never gotten the death penalty, I don't think.
Right. It's just sad because everyone in her life failed her up until this last bit. Like, she is culpable of all of the things that she did, but also, like, she's a victim too. You know what I mean? And that's where it gets so hard. And it's just, but you're right. Like, Bobby Joe is
the victim.
The victim in this case. Her baby is the victim. Her husband is the victim.
Yeah.
You know, like, her mom is the victim. All of these people.
The thing is, too, though, is that Lisa was even failed at the very end because they didn't even allow, because this was like down to the wire, as you know it is. I mean, you've seen it on movies of like trying to get at this for this, like Trump to be like, no, don't do it. And they even denied her, like, her last thing with her spiritual advisor.
What?
Yeah. It was weird. It was weird.
God. This whole case is sad.
Well, because it's also like, we've said it again and again. Like, we always say it with these cases, is at what point do you become responsible for your actions in spite of your trauma? Like, when a victim becomes the abuser,
right,
or whatever, you know, and it's like, yeah, at what point are you responsible for what you do? And I really think in this case, I don't know. Because again, I was about to say, I don't think she is. I think she should be in prison, and I think she should have gotten in trouble. I don't think she should have gotten the death penalty. But then, like, right after that, I'm like, because in my head, I'm also like, well, should she have been in a mental institution versus prison? And I'm like, yeah, but she planned it.
Yeah.
She faked this pregnancy for so many months. And whether she had started faking this pregnancy and then was like, hey, I actually know this girl that's pregnant right now, let me take this baby. And she, you know.
Yeah.
I don't think that she saw Bobby Joe pregnant and was like, oh, it's time for me to fake my pregnancy and I'm going to wait. I don't think it was that level of planning.
Yeah.
But it was a lot of fucking planning. And so it's like, she was capable of doing that and not disassociating. You know, she was capable. But also, you can't just explain someone's mental illness in that way.
Like, right. It's not black and white.
Yeah. Because they, you know, they also said, like, she did good in the women's prison. But, like, if she would get in a room with just a man, like, she would, it would really affect her. Like, she is truly affected. And they're like, she's childlike. And, you know, so I think, like, there's, I don't know, she's got a lot of mental illness. And, like, when she really started getting help in prison, taking medicines and all of that for her psychosis, she got better. And so it's like, if she had gotten treatment, would she have done all these things?
Right.
I don't know.
I don't know either. This is so hard.
Mm-hmm.
Because even though justice was served, it doesn't feel like justice at a certain point. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I wonder why she told those lies like that about being pregnant multiple times and all of that.
I don't know. I don't know if it was, I don't know, because I don't think it was like attention from Kevin. Like, I don't think it was, you know?
Yeah. But then also, like, it was almost just compulsive because how she did it to the police as well. Like, even though she's like, okay, so it is, you know, this. Or how, like, they got her out and she was like, okay, so I didn't have it in the birthing center, but she still told a lie. And then when they talked to her about that, well, okay, and she still told another lie. You know, it was just like...
Well, but also, how many times in her life has she had to lie for her safety, for her to get out of a situation, for anything? Like, she literally... Yeah. And if, even to her mom, like, think about, like, her mom literally blamed her for her stepdad raping her, like... God. You know what I mean? Like, she literally has to.
Yeah.
I mean, it's survival.
Do you know what happened to her kids? Did they go with their dad?
That I don't know.
Ugh, this is just such a heavy case. I'm really eager to know y'all's opinions. Like, are y'all like us? Like, it's like she should be punished, but was she, like, too harshly punished? Or do you think it was just? Okay, so this one's kind of heavy, too. Now, remember when I did that story on Elmer McCurdy?
Name sounds familiar.
He's the man whose body was used as a prop and stuff. Like,
yeah.
No one claimed his body. And so that person had, like, put him up and then, yeah. Okay. So this story is along the same lines of that. It isn't spooky or scary other than the fact that it shows how terrible people can be. If you weren't sure about that with Carrie's story, you can be sure about it after this. And this is a different type of terrible, but still terrible. This is a story of Julia Pastrana. She was born in August of 1834 in Mexico. So she's a Leo like me. However, very few people actually know her name. She was more often called by her stage names that were forced upon her. Ape Woman, Baboon Woman, and the ugliest woman in the world, to just name a few.
That's fucking awful.
Yeah. Also, because of the course her life took, no one really knows the truth about her early life. There's different versions. One version said that she was born in Mexico to an indigenous tribe called root diggers, and they resembled apes, and they were cave dwellers. Now, one day they found this lady. Her name was Miss Espinosa, and they took her captive.
I hate this story, by the by.
Right? It's a hard one. Now, they took her captive and held her, but by the grace of God, you know, she escaped, but she couldn't leave behind this strange girl that she had met while being held there, and that girl was Julia. Another version is that her mother and the tribe she was born into believed that this was due to the Nawali. Now, the Nawali were these shapeshifters that they believed were werewolves who could be good or evil. But you wouldn't know that they were Nawali until it was too late. Like Julia's mother, she was unaware when she got with one, and then that Julia ended up looking like she does because of this. So the Nawali were blamed for this, for any complications, stillbirth, any deformities, anything. It was, oh, it's the Nawalis. So her mother was cast out of the tribe because she had gotten with the Nawali, and to protect her daughter, they hid in caves and stuff. However, there were some herders that were looking for a missing cow when they came across Julia and her mother in a cave. So they rescued them, but they did end up putting Julia in an orphanage and like separating her and her mom. However, the most real version that people believe is that she was born in Sinaloa, Mexico, and she was born with rare conditions that are now known as hypertrichosis and gingival hyperplasia. I hope I said those right. Now, this caused her body to be covered in thick black hair and her mouth to be more pronounced. You know, she was an outcast and she was called Wolf Woman by the locals because of her appearance. And because of this, her and her mom kept to themselves and they were kind of like hermits for the protection of Julia. But when her mother passed away, she was taken in by her uncle, but instead of being a caregiver, you know, and a decent human, he sold her to the circus.
Oh my God.
However, what we do know for certain is that Julia ended up living with the governor of Sinaloa at the time. His name was Pedro Sanchez. Now, he didn't take her in out of the kindness of his heart either.
Of course he didn't.
She was like his maid, but also his hired entertainment. He forced her to do things for his amusement. And just like, if you were to think about like a court jester, that's like, you know what I mean? It was like dance, dance, dance kind of thing. Well, when she turned 20, Julia left Pedro. But on her way back to her tribe, she met a man named Francisco Sepulveda. And whatever he told her made her go with him instead of going back home. And he had grand plans for Julia. And in December of that year, he put her on stage as entertainment in New York, known as the Baboon Lady.
Jesus.
She sang, she danced, but that wasn't what drew people in. It was her appearance. She was 4'6", and like I said, she was covered in thick black hair. Her nose was wide and flat, and her mouth was large, and it did protrude. This is what one of the reporters had said about her. Well, first, he called her an it, and also a semi-human being. He said that she seemed to be intelligent and could speak and sing in 3 different languages and was very talented with her voice, but, quote, she was hideous and a joke of nature. Now, somehow she got involved with another manager, and his name is Theodore Lent. He continued to call her half woman, half animal, and all the things. Oh, and one time he called her the nondescript.
Jesus.
Like, what the fuck? Now, they would give out literature about her and the other, quote, freaks that they would put on stage and, you know, the stories they had come up with about her tribe and all of that. And they would say that the tribe had sex with apes and bears and that they were wild and all of the things, and that she was a product of this. Theodore Lent said that she was the missing link between apes and humans.
Oh, my God.
And the thing is, he had certificates from doctors that he would provide, you know, for people to who were like, no, she's not. He's like, it's literally scientific proof right here that this is what these doctors are saying. And he wasn't making this up. Like, people had actually examined her. But, you know, it's like lawyers, when they get specialists for a case, they're obviously going to go with someone who swings more to their side of the story than yes. not. And that's what he did. One of the doctors, Alexander B. Mott, certified that she was part human and part orangutan. Now, and the thing about orangutans is that, like, they said at this point, that was, like, the, like, scariest creature kind of thing. It was, like, kind of human-like, kind of not. Like, they're super smart. And so they were terrified of them. So for him to say she was half human, half orangutan, like, was one, like a scare tactic.
Yeah.
And this is a little aside, but Charles Darwin, you know, you might have heard of him.
Mm-hmm.
He heard about Julia and he saw a cast that was made of her mouth because, again, it was it protruded and it was abnormal. So it showed some irregularities in her upper and lower jaw and had extra rows of teeth. And so that's what really intrigued him, because he was doing this whole theory that he used Julia as an example for, and hairless dogs, to talk about his theory about animals that had, like, skin diseases or skin, any, like, abnormalities, was linked to having excess teeth. But it was actually wrong, because she didn't have excess teeth. She had really thickened gums. And so it made the cast look weird. But she didn't have, like, two rows of teeth. And one article said, like, if they would have asked her, she would have told them that she didn't have that. But they just liked her silent.
Also, though, I'm just sitting here trying to think about her sitting there while they're examining her and, like, talking about her like she's subhuman, and she just has to sit there and listen to it all.
Right. And as they said, like, she was very smart and she was aware of what was going on.
For sure.
So Julia was a part of that trend of the, quote, sideshow freaks, and she toured the world with Theodore Lint. Now, word on the street was that because she was quite, you know, famous, there were men who wanted to marry her, but Theodore was waiting for, like, the man with the biggest pocketbook. However, like, as much as he was like, oh, sorry, can't have her, like, you know, got to put up more. Like, P.T. Barnum and some other circus peeps were like, oh, we really want her. Like, she's a star, all the things. And so Theodore then professed his love for Julia in order to secure her. You know?
Yeah.
And so the two eloped in late 1850s.
Which I'm sure she had zero say in.
Well, by all accounts, Julia was truly in love with Theodore. But we know...
Stockholm.
Right. And we know that's probably because he was the only one who made her feel like she ever mattered. You know what I mean? Everyone, like, hid her away. But yes. Then he's like, you're the star. You're the this. You're everything. Even though it was terrible, she felt like she belonged with him.
Yeah.
You know, and who knows about the first guy, the Francisco guy? Maybe he was bad and Theodore, like, she viewed him as a savior from that environment. I don't know. But, like, whatever, she was very much like she trusted Theodore. But even though, you know, she thought she meant something to him, she didn't. You know, he just cared about what he could charge people to look at her. Julia had a very lonely life. She wasn't allowed to be outside because he said, like, if people saw her on the streets, they wouldn't pay to come see her. So they couldn't have, like, a free viewing. And even, like, when they were traveling, she would have to have a veil over her face and stuff because, again, he just didn't want to, give anyone a freebie. Again, he was just thinking about his paycheck, you know, and not like her as a human or, you know, even just anything.
Yeah.
Then Theodore thought luck was on his side because in Moscow in 1859, they discovered she was pregnant. And so, you know, he was like, if the baby looks anything like Julia, like I've got two for the price of one. You know, he didn't say that, but let's just.
Yeah.
We know.
Call a spade a spade.
Yeah. And also just the fact that he called her all these things and like degraded her and stuff like that. But then, and we know just married her to keep her shackled to him. And then he had sex with her and stuff like, I don't know. But now again, Julia was very small in stature and that posed risky for childbirth. And while giving birth to their son, the doctors had to use forceps and ended up cutting Julia multiple times. And when her son was born, he did look like Julia. He was covered in thick, dark hair, and he had the same facial structures and features. However, he only survived for a little over a day. And then 5 days after their son died, Julia passed away as well. Now, they believe it was from complications of childbirth. Like I said, she had several lacerations from the forceps. And, you know, this was back in the day. So they were probably like, rub some dirt on it. You're good. But Theodore said it was she died of a broken heart for the loss of their son, which they never said his name. So I really don't even feel like Theodore
even named him. That doesn't surprise me.
Right. Which, fuck you. But however, Theodore must have not been too sad himself about it because he let people come see Julia on her deathbed. Like when she's laying there, not knowing how many days she has to live, he charged a fee for them to come see her. And he said her last words were, quote, I die happy because I know I have been loved for my own sake. And it's like, probably didn't say that. But also, if she did,
fucking sad.
It's so sad. But also, like, it's all a lie. You know what I mean? And anyway. So Theodore was never one to pass up an opportunity to make money. Like I said. And when they both passed, he found this professor at the University of Moscow who was going to preserve their bodies, study them, and put them on display at the university. And Theodore was like, cool, they're dead, so I don't fucking care. You know what I mean? Like, here, pay me what you want and have the bodies. And now he doesn't have to dispose of them, right? Well, after 6 months of perfecting his, like, masterpieces, he posed them separately, both standing up. The baby had a, quote, alert look on his face, and Julia was positioned with her hands on her hips in a wide stance, and her face was turned to one side. Apparently, he did such a good job of embalming them and basically stuffing them like taxidermy.
Jesus.
That Theodore was like, oh, wait, hold on. No. Because they were like too good and he had them on display. He was like, look here at this little clause in our agreement. And that means they actually still belong to me. I don't know what that clause was. So he kind of purchased them for a small fee and then had their taxidermied bodies. And they were then displayed in London in 1862.
Of course they were.
Right. Now, Theodore was still looking for people to add to its program. And that's when he learned that there was another woman who had the same, quote, afflictions as Julia. Her name was Marie Bartel, and so he went over and made a plan to win her affection. Because, you know, happen once can happen again. And also, we know, like, how he is preying on these people who society, you know, like, is right. afraid of, and, you know, they're outcast and all of that. So there's a story, like he stalked her outside of her garden that she would tend to because that's the only place she felt safe. And one time he threw like a bag of plums over to her. So it was like also like she was an animal, You know what I mean?
Like, right.
Oh, here, I'm going to feed you so you love me and you trust me, you know? And it's like, wow, okay. And he ended up talking to her dad and he promised that he would take good care of her. He would not put her in his show. You know, he would marry her and love her for the rest of the days. And honestly, the dad probably was like, okay, like, yeah.
Just take like, her.
Yeah. Anything's better than her being my problem. And also, well, like, at least she wouldn't be here and she might have a life. But mm-hmm. even though it wasn't going to be a good one, but.
And also, out of sight, out of mind, he could tell himself, mm-hmm. oh, she's living this great life.
Right. Well, Theodore lied.
Duh.
And after they were married, he gave her the stage name of Zenora Pastrana. And he put her in the show saying that she was Julia's little sister. Oh, and just for an added, you know, ugh, he had Julia and their son pose behind her as she sang and danced like Julia had done before her. Now, after long tours, they ended up kind of retiring from the life in St. Petersburg. But Theodore was going through something, and they say that he went insane. He was seen various times in public behaving strangely. Like one time he was on this bridge over a river and he was almost completely nude. And he was screaming at the top of his lungs and just ripping up money and throwing it like confetti to the river below. So Marie ended up having him committed to an asylum.
Sucker.
And he died there. Okay. But then she also sold the bodies of Julia and her son because, I mean, she's like, I don't fucking care. Like, I just want the money. I want to get out of here and do my own thing, right? So they were shuffled around kind of like Elmer was to different fairs, amusement parks, you know, used as all the things. They ended up being sold to Norway's biggest carnival that was managed by Hakon Lund in 1921. However, by this time, the, quote, freak part of it, it was kind of like, oh, wait, this actually isn't a nice thing to say or do. However, the manager of this was like, oh, you don't like that? Cool. Well, let me not say sideshow freaks anymore, but instead, this is an exhibition and it's for education because these are, you know, like strange and unusual. And so he hired like medical students. So someone who knew a little bit about science, he would be like, oh, yeah. And here's a white coat. Be the guide through this exhibit. So people then think, oh, this is legit. You know, like we're learning that, oh, this is, you know, all the things, which they're not even learning anything. They're just pointing out all the things that made these people different.
Right.
And lies about their origin stories and all of that. So again, they just tried to shift it from entertainment to science and all that. However, the biggest what the fuck is during World War II, the Nazis were like, this kind of thing is terrible. And so they ordered all of that kind of shit to be destroyed. Now, Lund, or I think that's how you say his name, Lund, the manager, he was able to escape with some of his pieces and props. And that meant that they were kept in storage for a while through the 1950s. But then in the 1970s, they came back out. But again, it was not really widely accepted anymore. And Sweden, where they were going to be showcased, said, like, you can't show off corpses for profit anymore. So again, the bodies were put back in storage. Now, while they were in storage, some teens broke in and they ripped off Julia's arm and completely destroyed the baby's body. They said they thought they were mannequins. And because of how destroyed the son was, he was thrown into the trash because he was not preservable. Now, Julia's body was found in storage in Oslo's Institute of Forensic Medicine later on. But in 2005, there was this visual artist, Laura Anderson Barbata. She found out about Julia's body while she was in Oslo, and she started to petition them to release Julia's body and to formally bury her. There were lots of back and forth and like committees and all the things. But 3 years later, in 2008, there was this committee that agreed that Julia should be laid to rest. And so in February 2013, Julio was encased in a white coffin that was covered in white roses and was buried in a cemetery in Sinaloa, close to her hometown. And they say, hopefully, she's finally at peace. But if you think about that, 2013, and we're talking about her being born in 1834.
Right.
And from the day she was born, much like a different trauma than what Lisa experienced, but like people failed her and it was just like she never had a life of her own.
Yeah. People are fucking terrible. I just can't imagine calling someone these names. And I know that some of that is, I didn't just fall out of a coconut tree. We understand from the context in which we were, you know, that whole thing. So it's like, yes, now, if you plucked me and put me in 18, whatever, I may not have seen the problem with it, you know, like right. I do now. Because, I mean, you truly understand the context in which you were raised. And I don't know. I like to think that I would be like, no, they're a fucking human.
Right. I don't know. But the fact that like she wasn't even treated like a human, you know, and like to say that she was talented and, you know, they even said like she has a great physique for like a hideous creature. You know what I mean? Like all of these little things, like she can speak three languages, but she's a beast. You know, she's not even a whole human. I don't know. It was just so like gross. This episode grosses me out in all the ways, like of just seeing how terrible people can be.
Yeah.
And also like for their baby to be stuffed and like for him to do the embalming and taxidermy things, like, and then the guy was like, I'm going to get him back. Like did some like swindling things mm-hmm. with the agreement and then put them on display. Like, I can't even imagine putting her on display, much less their child.
Yeah.
You know, like their baby. Oh, and then it just broke my heart that while she's in storage, where you might think she could at least be not gawked at and stuff, people broke in and broke her, like took off her arm, destroyed her son.
Yeah.
And then they were just like, oh, we don't need to bury him because, you know, he's dead and not preservable. We're going to throw him away. Like, you threw him away like trash.
Also, how can you do that? Like, and again, what year was this? Like, 2003?
That was still in, like, 1920-something.
Okay, because I was like, I mean, literally, how can you? Like, just how you dispose of stuff is so regulated.
Or, sorry, 1970s.
Okay, but even still, 1970s, mm-hmm. like, you couldn't just throw anything away, I feel like. I mean, maybe not. I didn't live in the 70s. Maybe you could. But I just feel like, goddamn, now you can't just, I mean, you know?
Yeah.
It's fucking awful.
Terrible. But yeah, so 2013 is when she was finally laid to rest.
Her and that baby deserve nothing but peace in the afterlife.
Yeah.
Also, like, if that guy thought she was so disgusting, how did he have sex with her?
Right. But then also, I feel like the men who wanted to buy her and marry her and all of that, it's like I said, how do these people find each other? You know, but it's like, I think it was that morbid curiosity of, oh, she's half animal kind of thing. Like, oh.
Wait, these pictures. I'm Googling it right now. The picture of them embalmed is... I can see why those kids thought that they were mannequins.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, as much as I was like, oh, my God, I can see why they would. Because also, why the fuck would somebody have that?
Right. Well, and just like in Elmer McCurdy's thing where he was at that, the last place he was in that like neon
yeah.
thing. People thought he was just like this broken dummy because he had been like coated in wax from a wax museum. He had been all of this and like had, you know, was like missing an arm, missing yeah. this, had like neon paint splattered on him. And so why would you think that's a person? Like, you wouldn't. You wouldn't be like, huh, I bet that was actually someone.
Yeah, because who would do that to somebody?
Right. And even these people, like, if they looked at her, I bet they didn't think she was real either.
Yeah.
You know, because...
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. Even... Because, one, why would someone have that? But also, I mean, I don't know. Hate both of our stories.
Right? God.
I mean, great suggestion.
For real. For real. But also, whoa, that it happened in Skidmore. And, like, another big thing. And that's another thing, too, is that it was such a big thing with that McElroy or whoever that was, that it overshadows this.
Yeah.
You know, like, if you just type Skidmore, he's what pops up.
Right.
And this is also tragic and terrible. But, like, fuck, it's a small little town.
I know. Like, small.
Like, enough that the people were like, he's a bully. We're going to jump him and they're not going to be able to charge us because they don't know who it is. You know what I mean? Like, they didn't have Facebook.
Yeah, they weren't just like setting this up on the Goog.
Right.
Well, thank y'all for all of your recommendations and listening. These were rough stories, so please take care of yourself and your mental health. And remember,
creep it real
and don't get scared.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Do you love true crime podcasts and true crime documentaries?
If so, you gotta check out our podcast, True Crime Obsessed, where we recap the true crime documentaries everybody's watching.
We say everything you're thinking and probably screaming at your TV.
We've been at the top of the podcast charts for almost 9 years, and we have over 400 episodes for you to check out right now.
We cover the cases everyone's talking about, and we also highlight the cases that have been underreported, overlooked, or forgotten.
With over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, if you've never checked out True Crime Obsessed, now's the time to give us a try.
Find True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts.